changes. It's a time of maybe trying something new. I'm sure that at least some of us here have made New Year's resolutions. Anyone willing to admit they've done that and made a New Year's resolution? Anyone? I see someone raising their hand about that high, which is, you know, that's okay, okay? Okay, this is a time when we reflect upon ourselves, when we reflect upon our lives and we ask ourselves, what do I want to do better next year? How do I want to be better in this new year? And so, like I said, some of us have made New Year's resolutions. I suspect there's more than just one. But even if you haven't made a resolution, talk to the rest of you, even if you haven't made a resolution, you have this kind of vague feeling, I bet, that you want to do better somehow. You want to do better with some part of your life. A classic New Year's resolution, of course, is something about health, right? Maybe you feel like you want to exercise more. You want to lose some weight. You want to have a healthy attitude towards eating, maybe, whether you feel like right now you're eating too much, or maybe you feel like you're eating too little, or maybe you're just not eating the right things. Thinking about food, maybe some of us have a resolution or an inclination to cut something out of our diets this year. Something like sugar, soda, sweets, or snacks, or something else. Maybe in this new year, you feel like you want to do better with relationships. Maybe your spouse. Or maybe other family relationships, or even if this is where you're at in life, with dating relationships. Maybe this new year, you have resolved to cut some technology or limit time with technology this year so you can spend more time with your spouse and kids. Maybe this year you've resolved to do better at work, to work harder, to accomplish more, to get that bonus or that promotion you think will make a difference in your life. Maybe this year you want to organize your life. You want to get organized. You want to streamline things. You want to get rid of distractions and stress. Or maybe your resolution is a little more spiritual. Some of us do this. You've decided to take up daily devotions or Bible readings or getting better connected with other Christians, something like that. You know, if we spend too long reflecting, thinking about ourselves, we can start to feel pretty inadequate, can't we? Because it's so easy for us to think about everything that we don't like. And in fact, I read this recently, a Lutheran author named Chad Bird. He kind of summed up our feelings this time of year, at least I can say my feelings this time of year, when he called New Year's Day our annual festival of you're not good enough. I think he's got a point. We should never enter the new year thinking that we're not good enough. We should never enter the new year with a level of dissatisfaction that extends deep down into ourselves. We shouldn't do that because Jesus came in order to make us right, we know. We know that Jesus came to make us right, and he has made us right. And it's not that following Jesus suddenly makes us attractive, intelligent people who have our lives all together. At least not all of us. Greg. No, just kidding. But we know that in Christ, God pronounces us to be complete. We know that in Christ, God pronounces us to be forgiven of all of our sins. In Christ, we are the beloved and the redeemed children of God. We are new creations. And the fact is, when God does that work in us, you just can't improve on that. You can't make that any better. Our scripture reading quoted from the prophet Micah, and we'll talk about the story itself in a moment, but there's this great quotation in verse 6. He quotes from the prophet Micah from a passage that predicts the coming of God's chosen one. And Matthew, he's the gospel writer, he quotes from two verses, Micah 5:2, which talks about the city of Bethlehem, and then he also quotes from Micah 5:4, which talks about the chosen one of God, and he kind of crams these together in one statement there in verse 6 of our reading. But this is what the prophet Micah actually has to say back in his book, in Micah 5:4. He says that the chosen one of God coming to be Israel's king wouldn't be an ordinary king. He's going to be something different. He would rule as a shepherd. And this is how he describes God's chosen one, Jesus. He says he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. So in this new year, as we enter this new year, I want you to know that you are meant to live securely in the Lord. We're actually not meant to live with things like anxiety over weight or diet or jobs or relationships or our disorganized lives, because Jesus is God's ruler who shepherds us. Jesus says, you're all right. And when Jesus says it, that's all we need. This is not to say that we shouldn't make any changes in this new year. In fact, we all have lots of good changes to make in our lives. And I can tell you, me, probably more than most, I'm sure. We all have good changes we could and should make in our lives. It just means that we should make these changes for the right reasons. We don't make resolutions. We don't make changes as the people of God from a sense of insecurity. We don't make those changes from a sense of dissatisfaction with ourselves and with our lives. We make those changes because as the people of God, we know that Jesus is calling us onward. He's calling us to better lives of faithfulness to God, like a good shepherd does. And so that's one reason why we're starting a new message series today. We're starting a new message series called What Child Is This? And we just came out of Christmas, right? And so we're into this holiday of Epiphany and the season after that. And we're seeing who this child is that we just celebrated on Christmas Day. We're seeing who he is. And the reason we're doing that is because if we want to make good changes in our lives, and if we want to make good changes in our lives for good reasons, well, then we have to start by understanding who Jesus is. We have to start by understanding how his identity and his work as our Lord shapes our identity as the people of God. And so that's what we're talking about. The other reason we're starting a new message series today is just it's an opportune time. This is the celebration of Epiphany. It's a church holiday. It always falls on January 6th, as I told the kids. It ends the 12 days of Christmas. And Epiphany is a celebration of God revealing his Savior Jesus to the nations. The traditional gospel reading for this day is the story of the wise men, which we read. And this is significant in Scripture because this is the very first time that Jesus is being revealed to Gentiles. This is the very first recorded instance of Gentiles recognizing Jesus for who he is. Because, you know, you think about the story so far, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds of Bethlehem, they all know that Jesus is the Savior. The angels told them. And the city of Bethlehem, maybe that little area, they know that Jesus is there because the shepherds went out and told them. We read that in the Christmas reading not too long ago. But until these wise men come along, these magi, nobody has told the Gentiles. Nobody has told the whole rest of the world, the whole giant chunk, you know, the other giant chunk of the world's population. No one's told them that their Savior has come too. And this is where we see this happening. So Epiphany is a revealing. An epiphany is a moment when the truth suddenly makes itself apparent. And you might recognize that word epiphany because it's a word that we still use today in the same way. Sometimes we say that a person has had an epiphany moment, right? And we mean that they had a sudden realization. The truth has suddenly made itself known to them. The word itself, epiphany, it actually comes from a Greek word, two Greek words. One is phano or phino, which means to shine, and then there's the prefix, epi. So you put epiphino, which comes out as epiphany. And that gives you the sense of where. It means upon. And so an epiphany is when something shines upon you. The truth has shined upon you. The light bulb has gone on in your head, right? Or as in our scripture reading, an epiphany is when a star appears to announce the Savior's birth. The star of truth has shined down upon the world to declare that Jesus has arrived. And so these wise men, these magi, they were watching the skies. And as Gentile wise men in that time of place, they probably would have been attached to a royal court. They were astrologers. That's what they did. And the king of that place, wherever they were from, we don't know exactly. Someplace to the east, we know. So that could be somewhere in Mesopotamia, could be Babylon, could be Persia, somewhere. The king of that place would have kept these wise men around to consult. Because they believed that by watching the stars, by watching the motion of the planets and the stars in the sky, they could predict. They believed that they could determine whether it was a good or a bad time to take certain actions, a good or a bad time to make certain decisions based on, well, the seasons of the year, right? So there's kind of some truth in that. Watching the stars helps you keep a really good calendar. And even also more kind of, you know, in like the horoscope sense that we see today, which is, well, it's not as good, but that's what they did. Okay, so they were astrologers. They thought the stars would give them guidance for their lives. And so these wise men were watching the stars. And they saw something new. A star appeared. And the wise men knew that this star meant something. We read in our reading that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east, they came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The wise men followed that star to Bethlehem. They found the house where Joseph and Mary and Jesus were staying, and they bowed down to worship Jesus. They gave him royal gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are gifts fit for a new king. And the new king, Jesus, God's Savior, who was announced by angels, and even the one the prophets would talk about as the shepherd of Israel, the new King Jesus was revealed to the nations. And that's Epiphany. What a cool thing it is. But this account has to raise some questions in our minds too, because not everyone is happy about this. When we read our scripture reading, when we saw King Herod, he had a different reaction to the news of this star. And in verse 3 we read, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When King Herod heard about the star and the baby King Jesus, he was not happy, he was disturbed. Herod was unsettled, Herod was riled up, Herod felt threatened. If you were with us for our Advent worship services last month, our field worker Chris from the seminary, he did a great job of talking about King Herod for one of those Advent midweek services as we talked about some of the characters of Christmas. If you didn't hear about him then, what you need to know about King Herod was that he was a foreign ruler. He was not native born to the area. He was sent to govern Jerusalem on behalf of the Roman emperor. And Herod was fantastically insecure. And because of his insecurity, he was a violent man. He was fantastically violent as well. Because Herod faced the scrutiny of the Roman emperor from one side, if he ever made the emperor unhappy, if he ever didn't live up and send the tax payments along like the emperor expected, the emperor could strip him of his power, take away his position. And on the other side, Herod also, he faced pressure from a discontent populace, because the people in the area, they didn't like having a foreign ruler ruling over them. So none of them liked Herod, even though Herod tried to buy their favor. None of them liked him. Herod was in kind of a hard spot. And as a result, Herod was known for murdering anyone who might challenge his right to rule, even his own spouse and children. Wow. So when Herod heard that a new king of Israel had been born, he felt threatened. He felt threatened. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we can admit that King Jesus, he threatens us too, in a way similar to Herod. Just like Herod, we've got to admit that if Jesus is supposed to be our king, then we're not ultimately in charge of our own lives, are we? That's why Herod felt threatened, is because Jesus' arrival meant that he had to give up some control. He didn't want to do that. And so often when we reflect upon our lives, around this time of New Year or other times in our lives, when we reflect upon our lives and we look for those things we want to do different, we look for those things we want to do better, when we do that, we aren't always asking, what does Jesus say is best for my life? What is God's will for me here? Instead, we're asking what we want for our lives. What do I want instead? But if Jesus is revealed here as our king, well, then we simply can't think in that way. If Jesus is our king, well, then we owe him our devotion. If Jesus is our king, then we owe Jesus our submission, which is kind of a threatening word to us today. It's something we have a hard time talking about today, because submission means that Jesus gets the final say over the way I live my life, and I don't, because he's the king, and I'm not. The fact that Jesus is the king means that my time is not my own. My time belongs to Jesus, which is not to say I can't do fun things. Rest is part of God's design. Recreation is an important thing in our lives. But my time belongs to Jesus. I need to use my time in a way that's pleasing to the king. Jesus is the king, and that means, too, you know, my body's not my own. My body is meant to be cared for and used in God-pleasing ways as I work, as I rest, as I eat, as I play. Within marriage and outside of marriage and with my family, we're supposed to treat our bodies right. Jesus is the king. That also means that honoring God's commandments has to be one of my top priorities in life, right? That I live a life of faithfulness to God, that I speak rightly, that I honor the elders and authorities in my life, that I bring life and not death to the people around me, right? That I live a life of sexual faithfulness and purity, that I build up my neighbors with my words and don't tear them down, that I'm content with all the things that God has given to me. That's kind of, you know, those commandments, those 10 commandments in a nutshell. We could make it even simpler, too. And we could boil this all the way down to the two commands that Jesus summarizes the whole lot of law of God in. And we could say that Jesus is the king, and that means I need to love him with all my heart, and I need to love my neighbor as myself. And no matter how you put it or how you divide it, actually doing those things is a tall order for us. It's hard for us to do. It calls for a lot of humility and trust, when instead pride and self-satisfaction would be probably easier and more comfortable. But that's what it means, that Jesus is king. And now I've been hitting this hard. If you've been hearing all of this and it's making you feel a little inadequate, like maybe you need to make a New Year's resolution or two or ten, or if you hear this and you're thinking maybe instead that, well, there's no way I can possibly do that, so I may as well not even try, well, before you get there, we have to remember what kind of king Jesus came to be. From verse 6, out of you, Bethlehem, it's the second part we're interested in right now, out of you, Bethlehem, will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And that means that Jesus came not to condemn us, not to condemn our sin, but to forgive us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. And that Jesus comes to lead us like a good shepherd to new and better lives as we follow him. He calls us onward. And what all this means is we're thinking about changes in this new year, changes we might make in our lives, changes we're making because we believe Jesus has something better in store for our lives. It means that the first change that many of us need to make is we need to know him better. We need to seek him a little more. Because if we want to make good changes in our lives and we want to make those good changes for good reasons, then we have to start by understanding who Jesus is and how his identity and work as our Lord shapes our identity as the people of God. That's why we're beginning this message series today. We're looking at scripture that reveals who Jesus is to us. And that's what we'll be doing for the next several weeks, talking about who is Jesus? Who is this child that was born on Christmas Day? We'll see Jesus revealed to us in Scripture. But let me encourage you, too. Get into Scripture yourself, too. This would be a great change to make for some of us in this new year. Let me encourage you to read even a little bit of the Bible every day. If you don't already do this, or if you maybe you used to and you've kind of let it go, and I'll be the first to admit I've been there, that's okay. Make it your goal this year to get into Scripture, even if a little bit every day, because we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know the big story of God and humanity. It's a story of a good creation and a fall from grace. It's a story of prophets and promises as God claims a people for himself and then works through them to bring forth his Savior. It's a story, most of all, of redemption and new creation through the chosen one, Jesus Christ. And it's a story, too, where we already know the ending. It's kind of cool that Jesus has promised to come again and make all things new. And we need to know that story. We need to know Jesus, because otherwise, what do we have without it? Well, without that story, without knowing Jesus, all we really have is dissatisfaction with ourselves and the world around us. And maybe we have some resolutions that, if we're honest, often don't work out anyway. But knowing Jesus, we know our identity as the forgiven, the redeemed people of God. Knowing Jesus, we can make some good changes in our lives for good reasons. And so let me encourage you to get into Scripture. And let me actually offer some practical help with that, too. Here's an idea for you all. Sometimes technology is a wonderful thing. Here's my phone. I know we don't all have smartphones. I know that we don't all have computers in our homes, but I know that most of us do. So let me introduce you to some technology that can actually make this a lot easier for you, or it can help you, actually. Let me introduce you to an app for your phone or tablet, if you've got like an iPad or something like that, or also on your home computers. It's a website as well. The website is really easy to remember. If you forget this one, I'm not sure I can help you. For a website that's about helping you learn to read the Bible, it is www.bible.com. Can you remember that? I hope so. Okay, so Bible.com. And if you're on a phone or another device, you can still go to that website and find like the mobile app for it. Or you can just go to your device's app store and search for it there by another name. It's called the YouVersion Bible app. You can search for YouVersion, Y-O-U, like you, version in your app store. And I want to share this with you because it's not just a Bible you can get on your phone. That's not really new. Although you can find all sorts of Bibles, lots of different translations there. So if you have a favorite one, I'm sure you can find it. If you don't have a favorite one, I'm sure I can actually recommend one for you because some are easier to read and some are less easy, and that's okay. But what makes this really cool to me, actually, is that this gives you access to lots of Bible reading plans. Bible reading plans. There's plans to let you read the whole Bible. There's plans to let like each day, read this portion, this chapter. Here it is. There's plans that just go straight through. It starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation, and it's all the way through. Those are a little harder to get into, actually. There's some other plans that are easier to get into that every day they give you a little bit of the Old Testament, they give you a little bit of the New Testament, they give you maybe a Psalm or a Proverb every day. And I like those a little more because breaking it up like that, it helps avoid that thing where you start and like a month in you're in Leviticus and you just stop, right? That happens. A lot of those plans are for reading the Bible in a year, but to be honest, reading the Bible in a year, it might be a little too aggressive pace for some of us, and that's okay. You can always split it up, right, and just read half of the reading for the day and make your own two-year plan out of that. And what's even better is there's benefits to putting this on your phone or your tablet, really your phone, since it's something you tend to keep with you. One is that with many versions of the Bible, you can get it as an audiobook too. So if for you, sitting down and reading a little bit every day is hard, what you can also do is you can listen. You can listen while you drive. You can listen maybe while you work out, if you take walks or go to the gym. You can listen while you work, if your job lets you do that. You can listen while you do chores around the house or whatever. You can listen instead of read, and that's better for some of us. And if that makes it easier for you to hear the Word of God in Scripture, do that, right? The best part is something that I really need, I'll admit, because I am the kind of person where I'll start something good like this, and then I'll just kind of let it slip. And after a while, I just won't be doing it without ever deciding to, okay? The best part is you can make your phone remind you to read your Bible every day. It'll pop up, say, read your Bible. Hey, read your Bible. It's time today. Read it, okay? And so that's good because it keeps us from just kind of like stopping without deciding to. That daily reminder helps to keep you focused. And eventually, if you decide, well, I feel like I can't do this. If you decide to go in there and turn off that little reminder every day because you just can't stand it anymore, at least you've made the decision to do that and it didn't just fall out the back of your head like so many things do for me, okay? Let me say, too, there's lots of other devotions and things on that app. I'm sure that some of them are good. I just can't recommend all of them because I can't go and check them all out ahead of time. So if you stick with the Bible reading plans, I'm sure you get good stuff, okay? So check it out. The website, again, easy to remember, bible.com on the computer or the YouVersion Bible app on your phone or other device. And I would be happy, by the way, to be your personal tech support, too. But just for this, to help you get that set up. If you'd like to get started, but you need a little help with the technology side, I can do that. I'm older than I look, but I'm not that old. So I can I can figure this stuff out, all right? Sorry, that maybe came out the wrong way. I did not mean that in an insulting way at all, all right? But I can help you with that, all right? If the tech side is something you want help with, I would love to help you with that. And if you don't want to do the whole technology thing, but you prefer good old paper, I've got some of those for you too. So if you just hate all those screens, you want a paper Bible reading plan you can get into, talk to me. I'll give you one, okay? So this new year, remember that we are people who follow the Shepherd King Jesus. And as we discover more of who he is, we'll also grow to know more about who we are as the people of God. We'll know more about who we are in the sight of God. We'll be reminded that Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of grace and not a kingdom of pressure to always do more, always be better. It's not a kingdom of pressure where you're always not good enough. In Jesus, you're already made good enough to be loved. You're made good enough to be cared for. In Jesus, you're made good enough to be welcomed into the family of God. Amen.